Welcome back to the Energized with Dr. Marisa podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marisa, and I'm here to help you rock your hormones, optimize your metabolic health, and feel energized in your body so that you can age powerfully and wake up feeling amazing in your body for many years to come. Let's jump on in. Since I started caring for patients back in 2008, I have watched and listened to women share their experiences about gaining weight out of nowhere during perimenopause and menopause, despite not changing anything to their diet and exercise routine. And I always believed them because I know that women are committed to how they feel and how healthy they are. Even women who were training for triathlons at 40 or doing CrossFit every other day at 42 would then hit a wall in their mid-40s, and they felt worn down, achy all over, and even struggled with the motivation to get to the nearest gym. And by adding insult to injury, they also gained weight without permission almost overnight, or so it felt that way. And the prevailing narrative has been for far too long that doctors, researchers, dietitians, nutritionists, and society at large have believed that weight gain during perimenopause and menopause is either due to aging or not enough willpower or discipline or motivation. Basically, they put the onus on us. Now, if this has been your struggle too, you are not alone. So many women are struggling with midlife weight gain and poor metabolic health, and the reasons always come back to your hormones. Traditional approaches to weight loss and symptom management often fail women in midlife because we're not looking at the full picture and connecting the dots between insulin resistance and hormonal imbalances. I mean, how often have you heard from your doctor to just lose some weight, especially in midlife when you go in for your physical because your lipids and your fasting blood sugar are beginning to creep up? Unfortunately, this explanation discounts the complex physiological and metabolic changes the female body undergoes during the menopausal transition, also known as perimenopause. And it hinders people from addressing the root cause that is impacting women in perimenopause and postmenopause. Weight loss has never been and never should be about calorie counting and expenditure for women. It needs to be about understanding the hormone changes in midlife and aligning ourselves with strategies to optimize our metabolic health and our resilience. Now, over the past 3 weeks, while I was preparing for this episode and my upcoming webinar, The Truth About Midlife Weight Gain and Metabolism, which I am hosting live 3 times this week, and I'd love to see you there, I have poured through 50 plus research articles pointing to declining and fluctuating reproductive hormone levels during perimenopause and menopause as a root cause for body weight gain, body composition changes, insulin resistance, muscle loss, and an unfavorable shift of blood lipids, and an abrupt reduction in metabolic rate and energy expenditure. Not to mention the vast brain changes and inflammation that occurs during this profound transition. What I know to be true is that until we begin to normalize the profound system-wide changes that happen in midlife, we will never be able to optimize women's health. The menopausal transition, known as perimenopause, is associated with several physiological changes that may impact a woman's health outcomes, including an increased risk of metabolic, neurological, and cardiovascular diseases. Most women experience some level of insulin resistance during their adult years, especially women due to the profound changes that happen in our lives. And those percentages increase dramatically after the age of 45, because most of us by the age of 45 are in that late perimenopausal transition where hormones are beginning to drastically decline. Now, you may hear me say that insulin is the area that you should pay attention to. And you also may think, well, I don't have diabetes or even prediabetes, and there's no history of that in my family, so it can't be that for me. Hey, one more thing. Did you know that one of the biggest nutrient deficiencies that I see in people, especially women, is a magnesium deficiency? It's because we burn through this super mineral so quickly. Now, this powerful mineral packs a massive punch because magnesium is involved in over 600 reactions in the body. Now, it is your best friend if you need more energy, better sleep, a faster metabolism, improved digestion, and not to mention happier periods. And you can quickly replenish your magnesium levels with my Essentially Whole Magnesium Restore supplement made with my favorite form of magnesium, magnesium glycinate. Use promo code podcast and get 10% off your entire order at drmarisa.com/magnesium. Now I'll have the link in the show notes for this episode to make it easy. Go and try it out today. And that is a very common mindset because it's how we address it in the healthcare system. Insulin gets dumped into the diabetes bucket of healthcare, and for otherwise healthy people, it is often overlooked. But if you are a woman dealing with things like low energy, night sweats and hot flashes, stubborn weight gain, brain fog, irregular menstrual cycles, paying attention to insulin is the key to unlocking metabolic flexibility and greater health and vitality. Now, there are five main reasons why women experience menopausal weight gain and body composition changes. And I'm going to unpack each of them with the science to back it up so that you can really see how far-reaching these changes are for your body and health. So number one is imbalanced or lower levels of sex hormones, predominantly estradiol and progesterone, but there are definitely other ones involved. A decline in muscle mass. Number three, blood sugar variability and an increase in insulin resistance. Number four, redistribution of fat from hips, thighs, and butt to abdominal visceral fat. And number five, an abrupt reduction in metabolic rate and energy expenditure. So I want to dive in a little deeper into what's really happening to your body in each of these five areas during midlife. Let's start with number one. And I start here, the imbalanced and lower levels of sex hormones, because counteracting hormonal imbalance and loss is going to be a foundational aspect of getting your body back to functionally optimal levels when it comes to supporting your metabolism, weight, and energy production. Many of the other areas I'm going to be covering today are directly linked to this steep but nonlinear, meaning unpredictable, decline in sex hormones that is a very natural part of perimenopause, but can feel anything but. I know for me, my perimenopausal transition has been extremely disruptive, particularly around my mood and my brain, and even some metabolic changes. Now, if our hormonal changes in perimenopause are the real culprit here, we need to narrow our focus and find out exactly what is out of balance. For most women, the major players are going to be insulin, estradiol, progesterone, and testosterone, among other hormones like androgen and adiponectin. They can also play a role. I mean, we can even throw thyroid into the mix. It's always worth looking at. Now, research shows that hormonal changes during the menopausal transition drive insulin resistance, which directly relates to metabolism, fat distribution, and weight gain. Insulin resistance and obesity are connected as well, with each potentially driving the other in a very complex relationship. Hyperinsulinemia or higher insulin levels promotes glucose to be stored as fat. Likewise, weight gain and obesity further impair insulin signaling, creating a vicious cycle. Now, estrogen, this is kind of where our hormones come into play, also offers protection against insulin resistance. It's like our number one protector, which, as we know, insulin resistance is a risk factor for prediabetes and type 2 diabetes and a root cause for weight gain. But what estrogen does in terms of its protection is it enhances insulin sensitivity. So when estrogen drops during perimenopause, it can be a very big deal. The exact process for this is still unclear, but preliminary research points to estrogen's potential role in increased glucose uptake in the muscle. So what we know is that insulin resistance does start in the muscle. And when we begin to lose that amount of estradiol, that protective estradiol, that increase in insulin resistance will continue to happen, and we will start to lose even more muscle mass. By your final menstrual period, which is on average at age 51, estradiol will have declined by over 65% compared to your reproductive years, and it can be even more drastic than that. Now, research also demonstrates that the decline in estradiol and progesterone may lead to a more androgenic kind of apple pattern fat distribution, so think belly fat, with accumulation around the abdomen. Declining ovarian function and estradiol, the main form of estrogen in a woman of reproductive age, that deficiency impacts a woman's metabolism in a multitude of ways during midlife, and they are an abrupt reduction in metabolic rate, loss in muscle mass, a redistribution of fat to the abdominal area, an unfavorable shift in lipid levels, think triglycerides, cholesterol, and HDL, a reduction of physical activity energy expenditure, increased risk of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and increased insulin resistance. Now, because the decline of hormones are not linear and they have fluctuating changes by the month, week, and even by the day, it can feel like a moving target. We also know that the rapid changes in our critical hormones can lead to an inflammatory state during the perimenopausal transition. Hence, one of the reasons we see an increase in autoimmunity, brain fog, prediabetes, pain, and metabolic issues. So now that we've laid the groundwork for what happens when our hormones begin to decline in that perimenopausal transition, I want to go deeper into number two, which is decline in muscle mass. So one of the most concerning changes that occur during the perimenopausal transition is the increase in overall percentage of body fat and loss of muscle mass. A 2022 study found that the greatest increase in overall percentage of body fat, especially visceral fat, and decreases in lean muscle mass occur during perimenopause. This is why perimenopause is the most optimal intervention window to make lifestyle changes that protect and preserve metabolic resilience. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't make changes at any time. This just happens to be a very optimal window because it's when the most amount of change is occurring. Now, by the time that woman gets to menopause, around 51 years old on average, the study found that it's both challenging for the body to use fat for fuel, and it has an increased resistance to building lean muscle mass due to the loss of estradiol. Statistics show that women by the age of 45 are more likely than men to be overweight or have obesity, and insulin resistance plays a significant role. These changes can be so frustrating when favorite clothes no longer fit or the same workout routines and nutritional efforts are less effective at maintaining the same body composition. The deep concern about weight and bodily changes during perimenopause is not trivial. Weight gain and obesity are also risk factors for type 2 diabetes, coronary heart disease, stroke, and other potentially deadly diseases. You're more predisposed towards these conditions in perimenopause because of your massive hormone shifts. So any additional weight or loss of muscle just ends up compounding this problem. Targeting your muscle in perimenopause and beyond is one of the most proactive, beneficial things that you can do to protect your heart, bones, brain, and resilience through this transition and into menopause and postmenopause. Muscle cells are the main type of cells that will absorb glucose from your bloodstream, so less muscle always equals more circulating blood sugar. Remember, our muscle is our metabolic sink. The more muscle we have, the more we're going to be able to maintain stable blood sugar levels and thwart any levels of insulin resistance. Now, two of my favorite go-to experts on this topic is Dr. Gabrielle Lyon and Dr. Stacy Sims, both who were on this podcast last year talking about this very subject, and I will reference their interviews in the show notes. Next, number three, blood sugar variability and insulin resistance. Now, when we struggle with insulin resistance, it can become a vicious cycle to get out of. Your body can essentially become intolerant of carbs, even healthy ones. It requires you to really be tuned in to what is going on with your body because often, even healthy foods like apples and squash and sweet potatoes and some other complex carbs can potentially worsen the symptoms. Basically, all of a sudden, everything is causing, an uptick in blood sugar variability. Now, when your blood glucose rises normally, your body will be able to compensate by absorbing this glucose to use it for energy inside of your cells. But when your blood sugars stay chronically elevated in your body, we're not able to efficiently use that energy due to insulin resistance, and your body ends up defaulting to fat storage mode, leading to some major unexpected body changes for women who haven't really changed much in their diet or lifestyle routine. So when we start to see that decline in muscle mass, we start to see an uptick in hyperinsulinemia that causes blood sugar to stay more consistently higher. And it's, again, it just becomes this really vicious cycle. And what we know for sure, like there's so much research coming out on insulin resistance right now, but insulin resistance and high blood sugar contribute to 9 out of the 10 leading causes of death in the US and is a central player in declining female fertility, affecting 1 in 6 women today. I believe that blood sugar and insulin are the ultimate biomarkers to pay close attention to in midlife. Blood sugar and our body's ability to regulate it appropriately influences how we use energy, store fat, how we manage inflammation in the body, and to a large extent, whether or not we'll eventually develop a chronic condition. So you may think of jitters and tiredness, sleep disturbances, mood changes, brain fog as some of the biggest indicators of blood sugar deregulation. But the fact is that insulin resistance has been pegged by researchers as a driving force and root cause behind many different symptoms and serious health conditions, especially the biggest health condition, which is cardiovascular disease, the number one killer in women. Now, when it comes to symptoms of insulin resistance, these symptoms can range from subtle, mild inconveniences to life-altering diseases. And what I really love to, you know, when I think about insulin resistance, I think about poor metabolic health, because insulin resistance is a root cause of poor metabolic health. It's definitely one of the main criteria for diagnosing metabolic health. But what we're finding is that insulin resistance can be a root cause to the other biomarkers and indicators, which I'm going to get into in just a little bit. So when we're looking at insulin resistance and poor metabolic health, we can see it can look like a full spectrum of daily pain points of modern living that keep us from reaching our full potential and goals. This includes fatigue, brain fog, depression or anxiety, poor sleep, lack of exercise endurance and strength, muscle loss, infertility, irregular menstrual cycles, heavy bleeding during your period, hot flashes and night sweats, acne or other skin irritations, sugar cravings, increased appetite, stubborn belly fat, or an inability to lose weight despite exercising or dieting, high blood pressure, getting sick often, and chronic pain. Now, the more advanced overt impacts of metabolic dysfunction and really insulin resistance include polycystic ovarian syndrome, thyroid dysfunction, obesity, insulin resistance and diabetes, so dysfunctional glucose processing, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, again, dysfunctional management of glucose and fat in the liver, cancer, because we know cancer thrives on excess sugar, Alzheimer's disease, now being called type 3 diabetes with evidence of insulin resistance in the brain, cardiovascular diseases like heart attack and stroke, which is the damage to vessels from inflammation and excess glucose in the blood, and chronic kidney disease. These are vessels of the kidney impaired by excess glucose to the blood. Now, if you're experiencing any of these signs, there's a good chance that insulin resistance is running the show. So keep in mind that insulin isn't the enemy. It's more so the goal is to measure it, know where you stand, and take proactive pivots to get it under control. Because the goal for me is balance and stability. And obviously that looks very different woman to woman and even week to week as your body changes so drastically during the menopause transition and into postmenopause. I will tell you from personal experience that keeping my blood sugar in optimal range and making sure that my fasting insulin levels are under 5 has been a major area of focus for me. Not only do I have a history of diabetes in my family, and I have genetic predispositions to diabetes as well, but I know that in perimenopause, just it gets a little unhinged. Like all of a sudden, you know, no matter how hard I'm working out or being mindful, those types of changes are happening. Now, because I know that they're happening, I am taking really important pivots to ensure that I stay metabolically thriving for many years to come. And I will be getting into that in just a little bit. Now, I want to move into number 4, which is fat redistribution from thighs and butt to belly fat. And this is super important because what's fascinating about fat redistribution is that you may not see anything change on the scale. You may not go up in weight, but you just notice that fat moved and not in a way that you're very thrilled about. So in a 2019 study of menopausal women, researchers examined body mass metrics for 1,300 participants spanning the 8 years before their last menstrual period and 10 and a half years after. They found that lean body mass and fat mass increased in the 8 to 2 years leading up to the last period. So basically, they found that lean body mass and fat mass increased in perimenopause. Then the rate of fat gain doubled from 2 years before to 1.5 years after the last period. So 2 years before menopause and a year and a half after menopause, they saw the rate of fat gain double, while lean body mass decreased. The researchers noted that an increase in fat mass coupled with decrease in lean mass demonstrated how body composition changes during this time, even when the number on the scale did not. This is significant from a health perspective because of the abdominal visceral fat accumulation. This fat surrounding abdominal organs and is associated with increased cardiovascular risk and other chronic diseases. Also, it's associated with insulin resistance. Another study looking at the same data for 362 women found that visceral fat accumulation increased sharply at 8% per year in the 2 years before the participants' last menstrual cycle. So again, in late perimenopause. This increase was independent of aging. The rise in visceral fat also correlated with an increase in the thickness of the carotid artery. And what we know is that greater thickness of this carotid artery is a big risk factor for heart disease. And that makes a lot of sense. It correlates with the fact that once we hit our early 50s, kind of once we hit menopause, you know, the majority of women, that our increase in cardiovascular disease significantly rises. And this is one of the biggest reasons is we see this redistribution of fat to an area that drives more inflammation. So what are the processes behind these changes in body mass composition? During the reproductive years, the hypothalamic pituitary gonadal axis maintains a tightly controlled feedback loop throughout the menstrual cycle, meaning our menstrual cycle, you know, runs a tight ship, right? Every 28 days or so. I get that everyone's a little bit different. So as one sex hormone level rises, it starts to set a chain of reactions in the other hormone levels. These hormone fluctuations occur across the two main phases of the menstrual cycle, the follicular and the luteal phases, with ovulation taking place in between the two phases. Profound changes during perimenopause after these processes impact blood sugar and impair weight management. Because what happens is this feedback loop of the HPA axis is thrown completely off. All of a sudden, the hormones are not in rhythm the way that they used to. They're not binding to receptor sites as consistently as they used to. It's perimenopausal mayhem. It's default hormone chaos. Now, the feedback loop of that HPG axis influences glucose regulation. Understandably so, like glucose regulation, metabolic regulation is critical for our menstrual cycle, predominantly because of our reproductive system and the fact that we are created to have babies, to bring life into this world. And so our reproductive system and our metabolic system are intricately connected. You know, we are healthy enough to have children if we decide to. Now, the hypothalamus helps control food intake, energy expenditure, and body mass distribution. And all of these are affected by estradiol. For example, estradiol's impact in this area of the brain helps limit food intake, like working in concert with food hunger suppressing hormones like leptin. And it also helps stimulate physical activity. Estrogen also helps curb white adipose tissue accumulation. And distribution of white adipose tissue accumulation is associated with metabolic dysregulation, including insulin resistance. So as estradiol drops, we see it not being able to manage and help curb this white adipose tissue accumulation that ultimately ends up around the belly fat area. So this is kind of what's happening and what's unfolding in that perimenopausal transition. And so if you've noticed that you didn't gain weight, but that your distribution of weight began to happen, this is the research that really demonstrates what's actually going on. And then number 5, the abrupt reduction in metabolic rate and energy expenditure. So as progesterone and estradiol decrease in the perimenopausal years, in particular, your body's rate of burning through glucose and calories change dramatically. This is the reason why the exercise routines you've always done to lose weight suddenly don't have the same effect anymore. As these hormones decline, your body doesn't burn fat efficiently or as efficiently, and many women struggle to maintain effective exercise routines during perimenopause to begin with for a number of other reasons. What's really fascinating is that I know that I'm putting a lot of emphasis on this perimenopausal transition, but just note that some of these changes have been happening like in our 30s, and then it becomes more drastic in our 40s and even more drastic in our 50s. And so we actually start to lose strength and muscle strength and muscle mass even in our 30s. But then as estradiol is declining, it speeds up. It rapidly speeds up. So studies have shown a distinct change in how much energy or how many calories your body expends as you transition to menopause. This change should signal something for all of us. Your body is changing, so your habits need to change to meet these adjustments head on so that you can continue feeling your best throughout perimenopause and menopause. I mean, I think that if we were to just end this right here, the big message is that your body's changing, so you have to as well. I mean, you could just continue just going along, but it's not going to set you up for profound metabolic success or having amazing vitality. I'm sure I'm going to mention this later on, but we know that women live, you know, on average in the US a little bit like 4 years longer, give or take. But the research is clear that even though we live slightly longer, 25% of our lives are spent dealing with a chronic condition for many of us. And so to me, I know that the argument is always, oh, well, that women are living longer, but are we living healthier? Are we living high vitality? Are we feeling like we can really make the best of our years? So to quickly summarize, the science is finally backing up what women in midlife have been experiencing for centuries. Menopausal weight gain and body composition changes are real, and they are occurring due to declining hormones, not age. Now, is age playing a role too? Yes. Age is playing a role too in tandem, but now we are clear that age is not the only factor, that we have to take into account the changes that happen during perimenopause into menopause because of declining hormones, you know, aside from age. These are profound metabolic changes that are occurring in women in midlife due to the perimenopausal transition. And that's not to mention the other changes that occur during a woman's life that impacts her metabolic health, including pregnancy, postpartum, and even monthly menstrual cycle changes. Man, I will tell you, it has been, and especially, I'm just so fascinated and curious at women who have children later in life, like in their late 30s and 40s, and the impact that postpartum has. And then you come out of postpartum and like you kind of get slammed in to perimenopause. And what does that look like in terms of metabolic resiliency over time? We don't have a lot of research on that because women weren't really having children older in significant numbers until the last couple of decades. And so I am interested. I am an N of one of that experience, and I've been so vigilant in my metabolic health, but man, it has been an uphill climb, no doubt. So this information now begs, what can we do about it? If our bodies are reorganizing in such a way that we are more insulin resistant and less metabolically resilient, what obviously needs to change to meet the needs of our body's changing landscape? The first thing I find helpful is knowing your numbers, ideally before perimenopause. As I've shared here on the show before, that having a timeline of your metabolic labs and even your hormone labs are helpful to see trends and changes over time for your body, especially in your early to mid 40s, where we really start to see some metabolic labs begin to shift. Clinically speaking, metabolic health is defined by normal levels of 5 biomarkers: blood glucose, triglycerides, high-density lipoproteins, LDLs, cholesterol, blood pressure, and waist circumference. And we can improve most of these markers by making consistent lifestyle choices and keeping these biomarkers in a stable and healthy range. And I'm gonna definitely be sharing more, not necessarily in this episode, because I really wanted to just focus on the science of this profound period of our lives. So metabolic dysfunction occurs when 3 or more of the following biomarkers are out of range. And mind you, these are standard ranges provided by the American Heart Association. They are not optimal ranges. So I always tell people, if you are moving out of range in these reference ranges, then we really need to pivot because your metabolic health is in critical condition. Now, I'm going to dive into the optimal ranges in just a moment and include some more important labs to provide a more comprehensive look into your metabolic health and health span. But again, these first five biomarkers are a starting place. And, you know, I'm a big fan of getting where you fit in, like get what you can and let's work from there. So again, here are the AHA's, American Heart Association's ranges. A waistline of 35 inches or more for women and 40 inches or more for men. My recommendation is to have a waistline half the length of your height. So for some of us, it may be 33 inches or more for women. Fasting blood glucose above 100 milligrams per deciliter. You should know that 100 milligrams per deciliter is the diagnosable level for prediabetes. HDL cholesterol less than 40 milligrams per deciliter, triglycerides above 150 milligrams per deciliter, and high blood pressure, which is 130 over 85 or higher. So again, those are the standard lab ranges for a diagnosis in metabolic dysfunction or metabolic syndrome. And again, three or more of these out of range is considered a diagnosis for metabolic syndrome. But having an unhealthy metabolism, any of these can be out of range and we've got an issue. Now I want to just pivot and share a more comprehensive list of labs with ranges that are in a more optimal range for women. Meaning when you pass the threshold of these lab ranges due to a shift in metabolic health during the perimenopause transition, that you still have some wiggle room, right? So I do recommend that women request the labs I'm about to mention and use the reference ranges below that I'm going to just list off to determine their state of metabolic health. I will first go over the five that I shared a moment ago, but provide you with more functional optimal levels. So here we go. Originally, I said fasting glucose above 100 milligrams per deciliter. Ideally, you want a fasting blood sugar, fasting glucose under 90 milligrams per deciliter. When I mentioned HDL cholesterol less than 40 milligrams per deciliter, ideally, you don't want it HDL levels to drop below 50 milligrams per deciliter. When I said that triglycerides above 150 milligrams per deciliter were problematic, really what we want is it to not go past 100 milligrams per deciliter. High blood pressure, again, we're always looking typically 130 over 85. My adjustment would be 120 over 80 or 130 over 80. Remember, diastolic, the lower number is the more critical number. And then here's the other things that I want you to take a look at. The triglyceride to HDL ratio, so dividing your triglyceride levels by your HDL, that ratio, any ratio greater than 1:4, honestly, I don't want a ratio over 2. I don't want a ratio over 2. So when you divide triglycerides over HDL, if it's over 2, then that is an indicator of insulin resistance, especially if you can't get a test for insulin resistance, which most people can't unless they go out of network. You can easily divide the triglyceride by HDL. If it's over 2, that's an indicator of insulin resistance. Next is the erythrocyte sedimentation rate, also known as the SED rate. You're looking for, I want to say it's 20 millimoles per hour for females under 50, 30 millimoles per hour for females over 50. A high serum fibrinogen level, you're looking for anything over 350 milligrams per deciliter. A moderate to high serum ApoB, anything over 0.63 to 0.73 milligrams per deciliter. Any abnormal liver function test, so or a fatty liver indicator, definitely a concern for metabolic health. High serum ferritin level, so above 200 nanograms per milliliter. A high serum uric acid level, anything above 7.0 milligrams per deciliter. A low serum magnesium level, anything lower than 2.0 magnesium or milligrams per deciliter. Hemoglobin A1C, anything above a 5.7 is prediabetes. Honestly, anything above a 5.6. You want to keep that hemoglobin A1C at a 5.6 or lower. A fasting insulin level, anything above 5 micro international units per milliliter. So I just say, if you look at that number, if it's above a 5, then you're looking at early insulin resistance. And a 1 to 2 hour post 75 gram blood sugar level that's above 120 milligrams per deciliter or insulin is 30 micro international units per milliliter. Whew, I know that is a mouthful. And I'm going to be going over these numbers inside of my webinar that's coming up as well. I am also creating a opt-in where I have these numbers inside of the guide so that you can just pull them for reference. I cannot emphasize how important it is to get your labs drawn and review them annually, especially in midlife or as early as 40, so that you can measure and make improvements to your biomarkers over time. And here's the thing, the reason why I want you to know these numbers and I want you to have them on paper, whether it's an opt-in or from a book or wherever, is that a lot of times your doctor is going to just flag it as normal. Again, if you had triglyceride levels of 125, maybe they'll say something, but there's a good chance they're not going to say anything until it's closer to 150 milligrams per deciliter. But in terms of optimal range, anything above 100 milligrams per deciliter is concerning. And triglyceride levels going up is often an indicator of insulin resistance. And so the more that you can know your labs and interpret your labs and flag yourself based on optimal ranges will give you the opportunity to take control of your health. Because again, doctors are only kind of waiting until it becomes a triage situation. And by that time, it's a little too late. And so I just want to set you up for success well before you start to get flagged for prediabetes and something like that. Now, for most of us, a lot of these labs can move in the wrong direction, can go out of range during perimenopause due to the default hormonal disruption and ensuing inflammatory state as a result. Plus, many of us become more insulin resistant due to declining estradiol levels, as I shared earlier. And as I also shared, insulin resistance alone can drive many of our critical biomarkers out of range, including increased cholesterol, triglycerides, blood pressure, fasting blood sugar, hemoglobin A1C, ApoB, uric acid, and many more. So if there was a lab, a biomarker that you wanted to get in control to have a great impact on the rest of these labs, it's going to be the fasting insulin test. That's going to be the one that's going to really show you what's going on so that you can walk that back and walk all these back as well. Now, from a research article titled "The Crucial Role and Mechanism of Insulin Resistance in Metabolic Disease," which again, I'll share this particular article in the show notes, their citations for this episode, I think it's like 28 citations. I'm not going to post them all, but I'm going to post this one. So I want to just read this quickly to you. Insulin resistance is characterized by insulin-mediated blood glucose management disorders, blood glucose utilization disorders, abnormal lipid accumulation, and increased lipid decomposition activities in adipocytes, which can be called insulin resistance syndrome or metabolic syndrome. As a hotbed, insulin resistance breeds obesity, type 2 diabetes, and its complications, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, tumor, cardiovascular disease, and other metabolic diseases. Any disease or disorder that leads to an abnormal metabolic process can be defined as metabolic disease, which poses a major threat to human health and affects the quality of life. Therefore, it is of great necessity to understand insulin resistance clearly and explore innovative therapeutic approaches to reduce the burden of disease. Another great resource in understanding the insidious nature of insulin resistance and how prevalent it is for midlife women, I want you to check out Dr. Ben Binkman's book, Why We Get Sick. It has been very clear to me, and I hope you too, after listening to this episode, that we need to pivot as our body pivots. And unless we're making pivots to improve our overall metabolic health, energy, and vitality, we ultimately find ourselves struggling with chronic conditions that rob us of what matters most: time spent being present with the people we love most and doing the things we absolutely love. Although women do live an average of 4 years longer, as I mentioned earlier, I just want to repeat that we spend an average of 25% of our lives living and dealing with a chronic health issue that reduces our quality of life. We deserve a better method of healing, feeling strong and energized and amazing than being told that we just need to suck it up and be okay with the normal process of menopause and aging. This doesn't cut it anymore. Midlife is a time of serious health assessment and reflection. Now, it took me a very long time to really understand how to harness our power, but I did. And at 44 years old, I have more metabolic flexibility and energy than I had in my 30s. And today, I'm going to share how to get started with working with me to optimize your metabolism, blood sugar, and hormones to feel amazing in your body. I've learned over the years about how the female body actually works in midlife. And it's pretty crazy, like major changes. I think of it as just a huge remodel, a reconstruction. I've learned about how to boost metabolic health and optimize blood sugar levels and biomarkers and help women feel more energized, hence the name of the show. And I knew that I wanted to put this information into practice, especially as I navigated perimenopause and beyond. After 3 years that I've been researching and working with VIP patients and clients with amazing results, I have felt called this year to kick off my second annual 90 Metabolism Makeover program with a small group of motivated women, women who are ready to tap into their potential. Last year's group was epic, and I'm so grateful I got to witness amazing transformations in just 90 days, with the average weight loss of 17 pounds as a side benefit, and women getting stronger and becoming more resilient. Getting to work closely with these women was a dream, and it made me realize that many of us just need a little bit of guidance to really move the needle. Now, as much as I love books, I love writing books, and I love my programs, there is something about working more closely with someone that is pure magic. Honestly, there's nothing like having someone in your corner that is cheering you on and helping you make pivots in real time based on your feedback and results. Basically, not everything works for everyone, obviously, and each person deserves a tailored plan based on their desires, needs, labs, and health history. Like, all of this needs to be considered. As much as I would love for every woman to be weight training, and I think that that is a major part in midlife, that's not the case for everyone. You know, I think what was so interesting working with women over these past couple of years much more closely is that everyone has different motivations. Everyone has different desires and different goals. And it's meeting those goals on an individual level that is the most exciting for me. So if you've ever thought to yourself, I wish I could get personalized guidance about my specific hormonal imbalances and weight loss struggles directly from Dr. Marisa, this may be your chance. And here's the really cool thing about this high-touch program. It's not just unique in that you get unprecedented access to me, it's also unique in its format. I've designed this program so that if you show up and do the work, you can't fail. Like, you win. It's designed for you to win. The 90-day Midlife Metabolic Makeover is really a transformation in the sense that it's transform how you feel, get your hormones straightened out, and get your groove back, total health makeover. It is a massive glow up that is designed to set you up for amazing health for decades to come, not just months and years. These are protocols that you can lean on for life. That is the intention. These are protocols that I'm going to lean on for life. So once we really dig in and get to the root cause of whatever's going on with you, whether it's fatigue or weight gain or brain fog or what it might be, your body's going to naturally reignite your metabolism, unleash those energy levels, help you feel strong and resilient, help you fire in all cylinders, and feel peaceful and joyful again. Like, oh, just to feel peace and joy, right? What anyone wouldn't give. It's always been my promise to be a part of the solution. And with millions of women struggling in their body due to profound physiological changes in midlife, I'm doing something about it. Something big. Something that's going to change the course of your midlife story. So I am hosting a live class to show you the secrets to fixing your metabolism in midlife so that you can drop that stubborn weight, right? Reshift your body composition, reverse the insulin resistance, and start feeling like yourself again. In this class, I am going to be sharing the following, and I'm giggling because it's getting a little out of hand. I'm going to be sharing the impact of declining hormones on weight and cardiometabolic health. And quick note that cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in women, so much so that cardiovascular disease kills more women than all forms of cancer combined. And this really hits home for me because my sister had multiple strokes last year at age 42. The most up-to-date lab testing reference ranges for women in midlife, I know I already promised, the overt and subtle symptoms of metabolic dysfunction, the warning signs of insulin resistance and how to reverse it. Hint, it starts in the muscles decades prior to showing up in labs, as I mentioned. The benefits of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy for midlife women for our brain, heart, bones, and metabolic health. Lifestyle habits and interventions that actually age us and reduce our metabolic health that we have been sold a bill of lies to do. And then how to feel healthier and stronger than 99% of most midlife women. Because the goal isn't about being thin anymore. It's about feeling resilient and having the strength, energy, and brain power to do what you want without having to think about it. So much of what we've been taught isn't setting us up for success because it's making us weaker. I mean, literally weaker. Not only is sarcopenia a big concern for women in midlife, which is the loss of lean muscle mass, but we need to look closely at dynapenia, which is the loss of skeletal muscle strength in midlife. Women in midlife lose muscle strength 2 to 5 times faster than muscle mass. And most importantly, you won't be shrugged off in this webinar. Your concerns won't be dismissed. And trust me, this is a much better strategy than browsing TikTok for weight loss advice. This will be a safe place to ask me anything you want about hormones, weight gain, menopause, perimenopause, and aging. And at the very least, just show up to ask me questions at the end, because that is my favorite part about hosting live classes, is the dozens of questions I get to answer in real time. Now, I'm going to be hosting 3 of these classes this week live, and you can literally pick the best time to attend. The first one kicks off tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. Register for free and get a sweet gift for registering, which I believe is my metabolism assessment guide. The link is drmarisa.com/midlife, or click the link in the show notes. Again, it's free to attend. It's live. You are with me, and you're going to get some free goodies by just registering to attend. So I hope I get to see you there. And I also hope that at the very end of this episode, which, oh my goodness, is like 20 pages long in terms of all the content I was trying to cover, all of the articles I was looking at. I mean, it was pretty crazy. I hope that what you're walking away with is just a deeper understanding and a level of validation about what is going on with your body. If you have been in this process, if you're in it now, if you're in perimenopause now, or if you're in menopause and it just felt like someone just sent you through the washing machine and you were like, what just happened to me? It really is a reconstruction of our system, of our body, of our brain, of our metabolism. And the research is clear, like not all of it is a winning move in a direction of vitality. And so if this episode was helpful, if it gave you some validity, please take a moment, subscribe to the show. And I want you to know that I've got so many amazing metabolic, hormone, midlife experts coming up in the coming months to really dive deeper into so many areas of the second half of our lives, because that's really what it ends up becoming. Because I want you to have this information at your fingertips. So please subscribe and take a moment to rate the show. The intention always is to empower you to know that you have the ability to make changes. But unless we know that these changes are happening, it can be so hard to know what to do. So the intention of this episode was never to scare you. I feel more freedom in knowing what's happening because it really validates what is going on with my body right now versus just being told that it's just aging, or, you know, you just got to suck it up. That's just not good enough. We deserve better. All right. Until the next episode, I hope to see you at one of the live classes this week. But until the next episode, have an amazing day. Tomorrow, Dr. Sarah Gottfried is going live on the show talking about autoimmunity and trauma. And it's so powerful and profound. And I hope you tune in for that too.